A cashier is handed $500 in cash across the counter. She counts it, she remembers it, and a receipt is printed. Months later, the payment is disputed, and she is called to testify. Before she can say a word about that money, opposing counsel objects. "The best evidence rule," he says, "produce the receipt or say nothing." Is he right? No. She watched the money change hands. Payment is an event she perceived, so the receipt has nothing to do with it. But change one fact. Suppose she never saw the cash and knows the amount only because she read the receipt afterward. Now the receipt is required, and her memory of it will not do. Same witness, same number, opposite rule. Here is the route. Two gates stand between a document and a jury. Gate one is authentication, and we will spend most of our time there because the exam does. Gate two is the best evidence rule, which is narrower and worse named than you would guess. Then the definitions that decide half the questions, and the excuses for not producing an original. Two gates stand between a document and a jury. Authentication, proving the item is genuinely what you say it is, and the best evidence rule, which says that if your point is what a document says, you generally bring the document. Both exist for one reason. Documents and recordings are easy to fake, easy to miscopy, and easy to misremember. Start with foundation, which is the general idea underneath both. A foundation is the set of preliminary facts you must establish before a piece of evidence is allowed in. For a witness, the foundation is personal knowledge, because a witness may testify to a fact only if they actually perceived it. For an exhibit, the foundation is authentication. You cannot hand the jury an item and say, "Trust me." So, gate one. Under FRE 901A, the party offering an item must produce evidence sufficient to support a finding that the item is what that party claims it is. Read that carefully, because the standard is deliberately easy. The proponent does not have to prove genuineness for certain, and the judge does not have to personally believe the thing is real. The judge only screens for whether a rational juror could find it genuine. Authentication is a classic case of conditional relevance. A murder weapon is only relevant if it really is the weapon, so genuineness is a fact for the jury. Weak but sufficient proof gets the item in, and the opponent's doubts go to weight. Now, the consequence that trips people up. Authenticating a document does not make it admissible. It clears the genuineness hurdle and nothing else. The document must still survive hearsay, the best evidence rule, and every other rule before a jury sees it. Two separate gates, and passing one says nothing about the other. Rule 901B then gives a menu of accepted methods, and the list is not exhaustive. But four of them you must know cold. 1. Testimony of a witness with knowledge. Yes, that is the knife I saw in the defendant's hand. 2. Non-expert opinion on handwriting. 3. Comparison by an expert or by the trier of fact against a specimen already shown to be genuine. 4. Distinctive characteristics. Those middle two hide an asymmetry examiners love. A lay witness may identify handwriting under 901B2, but only if the familiarity came from ordinary life. A bookkeeper who has watched the tenant sign hundreds of checks qualifies. Familiarity, coached up for the trial, does not. Under 901B3, by contrast, an expert or the jury compares the disputed writing against a known, genuine specimen. And that specimen may be prepared for the case, so long as it is shown genuine first. Distinctive characteristics, 901B4, is the workhorse for modern evidence. Emails, texts, social media posts. A text is authenticated by its contents plus the circumstances. It comes from the defendant's known number, uses their nickname, refers to private facts only they would know, and continues an ongoing exchange. A close cousin is the reply doctrine. A message is authenticated by showing it answers an earlier communication naturally, because a stranger would not know the details. Work 1. An email signed Dana answers the prosecutor's exact questions from a prior email, references Dana's home address, and arrives from Dana's work account. Authenticated? Yes, under 901B4. Content plus circumstances support a finding that it is Dana's. And remember what that buys you: genuineness only. Whether the email is hearsay is a completely separate fight. Below the big four sit the recognition level methods: voice identification, 901B5, and here is the asymmetry again. Anyone who has heard the voice may identify it at any time, even if they first heard it after litigation began. Telephone calls, 901B6, where an outgoing call is authenticated by showing you dialed the right number and the person answered fittingly. Public records, 901B7, authenticated by showing the record came from the office where such records are kept. Ancient documents, 901B8, at least 20 years old, free of suspicion, and found where such a document would likely be kept. Process or system, 901B9, where a computer report is authenticated by evidence that the system produces accurate results. And chain of custody, for fungible or easily altered physical evidence like drugs or blood samples. Show a reasonably complete, unbroken handling history so the jury can find the item is the same one, unchanged. Small gaps go to weight, not admissibility. Then there are documents that prove themselves. Under FRE 902, certain items are self-authenticating, admitted with no sponsoring witness and no extrinsic proof. Domestic public documents under an official seal, certified copies of public records, official publications, newspapers and periodicals, trade inscriptions and labels affixed in business, like a soda can's brand label, notarized documents, and commercial paper. Certified business records under 902.11 join that list, along with certified electronic records. But those too carry a price. The proponent must give every other party advance written notice of the intent to use them, and must make the record and the certification available for inspection before trial. Skip the notice, and the shortcut is gone, and you are back to calling a live custodian. Now gate 2, and it is badly named. The best evidence rule is not a general command to bring the strongest possible proof. Its real name, the original writing rule, is the accurate one. Under FRE 1002, to prove the content of a writing, recording, or photograph, the original is required. That is the whole rule, and it does nothing outside its slice. It bites in exactly two situations. First, when the writing has independent legal significance, so its terms are the very thing in dispute: a contract, a will, a deed, a defamatory letter. To prove a lease charged $2,000 a month, you produce the lease, because the sum is a term of the writing. Second, when a witness knows the fact only because they read it in the writing, so the testimony is a stand-in for the document, which brings back our cashier. She was handed $500 and she watched it happen. Payment is an event she perceived, so the receipt is beside the point. The rule also skips collateral matters, writings too minor to be tied to a controlling issue, and it does not apply merely because a recording exists. An eyewitness who saw the live event may describe it without producing the surveillance video. That is the single most tested trick in this area: confusing an event with a record of the event. Ask one question and it resolves. Is this witness proving what happened, or proving what a document says? Only the second triggers the rule. Next, the definitions in FRE 1001, and two of them decide questions. Electronically stored information first. Any printout that accurately reflects the data counts as an original, so you almost never have a best evidence problem with an email or a spreadsheet. The printout you hand the jury is itself an original. Second, duplicate is a mechanical concept. A duplicate is a counterpart produced by a photographic, electronic, or equivalent copying process that reproduces the original exactly. So a copy made by hand or retyped from scratch is not a duplicate at all. It is merely other evidence of the content, usable only if an excuse for the missing original applies. And note how far writing reaches. An X-ray film is a photograph. FRE 1003 then does most of the practical work. A duplicate is admissible to the same extent as the original. That holds unless a genuine question is raised about the original's authenticity or the circumstances make it unfair to admit the copy. So a clean photocopy of a signed contract comes in and nobody produces the original. It fails in only two narrow situations. 1. A genuine dispute about whether the original itself was authentic, such as a claim it was forged, which a copy cannot resolve. 2. Unfairness, such as a copy that cut off half the page and hides a key term. No original and no duplicate? FRE 1004 supplies four excuses. All originals lost or destroyed, as long as the proponent did not destroy them in bad faith. No original obtainable by any available judicial process. The opponent had control of the original, was on notice, and failed to produce it. Or the writing relates only to a collateral issue. Three more routes prove content without the original at all. Public records, where a certified copy or a copy a witness swears is correct, does the job. Voluminous materials, where records too large for the courtroom can be proved by a summary, provided the originals are made available to the other side. And the opponent's own admission, which settles the content with no need to explain anything. Last, FRE 1008 sorts out who decides what. The judge decides whether the proponent met the conditions for using non-original evidence, such as whether the original was really lost without bad faith. But three questions go to the jury: whether the writing ever existed, whether an item produced in court is actually the original, and whether other evidence of the content accurately reflects it. A word on authorities, because this episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. Next-gen questions hand you an exhibit and ask whether it gets in. They will not ask you for case names. Here the authorities are numbered rules, and this is a starred topic, so no rule book is coming. If you keep only three, keep these. 901. A. The sufficient to support a finding standard, because it sets the whole low bar. The four methods in 901 B1 through 4. And FRE 1002, the original is required to prove content, because everything in the second half is an exception to it. Now the traps, straight from the examiner's favorites list. 1. Do not ask whether the judge is convinced a document is genuine. Authentication asks only whether a reasonable juror could so find. 2. Authenticating a document does not admit it. It must still clear hearsay and every other rule. 3. Self-authenticating documents need no witness, but certified business and electronic records still need pre-trial notice and a certification. 4. The best evidence rule is not a bring the best proof rule. It applies only to proving the content of a writing, recording, or photograph. 5. A witness with independent first-hand knowledge of an event may testify even though a document also records it. 6. A handwritten or retyped copy is not a duplicate, because a duplicate must come from a mechanical or electronic copying process. 7. The lost original excuse evaporates if the proponent destroyed the original in bad faith. And one habit worth building: document questions stack hurdles, so take them in order. Relevant, authenticated, past the original writing rule, free of hearsay. An item can be perfectly authenticated and still fail the next gate. Time for the quick check, straight from the Bargo question bank. A witness is prepared to testify that a threatening phone call she received came from the defendant. She had never spoken with the defendant before that call. To get ready for trial, she listened to him speak for the first time at a pre-trial hearing held after charges were filed. She says the voice she heard there matches the caller's. The defense objects. May the witness identify the caller's voice as the defendant's? Option 1. No, because voice familiarity gained only after the litigation began cannot identify a speaker. Option 2. Yes, because anyone who has heard a voice may identify it, even if the familiarity came later. Option 3. Yes, because lay voice identification is really a matter of expert acoustic analysis for the jury. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2. Voice identification under 901(b)(5) permits anyone who has heard the voice at any time to identify it. Familiarity acquired after litigation began is fine. Option 1 is the trap this question is built around, and it is a good one. It imports the timing restriction from the handwriting rule and applies it to voices where it does not belong. That asymmetry is worth memorizing as a pair. Handwriting familiarity must predate the case. Voice familiarity can come from anywhere, at any time. Option 3 fails differently. Lay voice identification needs no expert analysis, and any weakness in the witness's ear is for the jury to weigh. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Authentication is a low, jury-facing bar. The question is never whether the judge believes the item is genuine, only whether a reasonable juror could. 2. Clearing that bar admits nothing. Hearsay and the best evidence rule are still waiting. 3. Know the 4 methods in 901B cold and keep the handwriting timing limit away from voices. 4. The best evidence rule bites only when the terms of a writing are the issue, or when the witness knows the fact only from the writing. 5. A duplicate comes in like an original unless authenticity is disputed or the copy is unfair, and a handmade copy is not a duplicate at all, which is why our cashier testifies about the money she saw, and why the same cashier reading the same receipt would have to bring it. Nothing changed about the payment. Everything changed about how she knows it. Next time, witness competency and trial mechanics. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.